Lord and Heavenly Father, help us who often doubt to know that you are always with us in our reflection, and that through our searching we may come to a deeper faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What do you do when you are not sure? That's the opening question in a sermon by Father Brendan Flynn in the movie Doubt. The sermon is premised by the events following the assassination of President Kennedy. And as he speaks of this tragedy, Father Brendan asks, who among us not experienced profound disorientation and despair? It was a time of people sitting together, bound together by a common feeling of hopelessness. But think of that, he says. It was awful, but we were in it together. How much worse is it then for the lonely man, for the lonely woman, stricken by a private calamity? No one knows I am sick. No one knows I have lost my last real friend. No one knows I have done something wrong. Imagine the isolation. Now you see the world as through a window. On one side of the glass are happy, untroubled people. And on the other side, it's you. There are some of you here today who know exactly the crisis of faith Father Brendan describes. It is called doubt. And it's this crisis that comes to light when we read the Easter story. Although the one disciple we think of is Thomas, all the disciples were doubting. Matthew, for example, tells us that when the 11 disciples saw the Lord, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Mark records that when the women found the empty tomb, they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. At the end of his gospel, Luke records Jesus' description of the two disciples walking to Emmaus as slow of heart to believe. Then John tells us this marvelous story of Thomas. Now, there could have been many reasons as to why Thomas and the disciples doubted. But from our experience, we can tell what they were going through. Most of the times we have doubted have been times when we have seen and experienced indescribable evil. This was true of the disciples. Crucifixion was a horrendous event, especially when it happened to somebody you love. Many people today struggle to believe because of the appalling evil in the world. And they ask, how can I believe in a God who is good, a God who is in control in light of what I've seen and experienced? On other occasions, we have doubted when we have seen and experienced massive disappointment. And this is another reason why these disciples doubted. They had left everything to follow Jesus Christ. They had high hopes that Jesus would lead them into greater things. They were disappointed when all that ended on Good Friday. Maybe this is what you are going through right now. The loss of a job. The loss of your health. The loss of a loved one. The failure of a great adventure. Or the collapse of a once vibrant marriage. And you are wondering, where is God in all this? You have been told to never doubt in the dark that which God has given you in the light. But you catch yourself doubting. Of course I doubt in the dark. what God has given me in the light. It drives me to my knees when I think about what I say I believe. I see my faith has found a resting place in Jesus who saves. But my fears, my doubts are unending. When I encounter certain unexpected calamity, when I pray for a certain thing and the opposite happens, when I lose a loved one, when I obey and do what is right and then suffer for it, when life takes me in twists and turns which make no sense. If you're struggling to believe, know you are not alone. Many times doubt comes when we think we don't have the strength to make a decision. And so we launch out on a path of growing isolation. And this was true especially of Thomas. We are told he was not with the other disciples on that first Sunday when Jesus appeared. It seems he was a lonely path because doubting people suffer alone. He does not feel at ease with Jesus' friends, but he does not belong with Jesus' enemies either. And that's what happens when we are hurting. We feel alone, and God seems to be far away from us. We resent the faith of our neighbors who appear to be happy and untroubled. We wish they would see our tears and restrain their joy. And we forget that all of us, are pushing a wheelbarrow of sufferings, pains, and burdens of life. If only we could look into our neighbor's wheelbarrow, maybe our perspective would change. The resurrection of Jesus Christ speaks directly to our doubts. If it were not for the resurrection, the evil we see, the disappointment and the loneliness we experience would remain unanswered. But in the moment of despair, in the moment of darkness, God did something incredible. He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So this encounter between the doubting disciples and the risen Christ is not so much about believing in the fact of the resurrection as it is about believing that someone could be wounded and also rise at the same time. Like Christ, we are often always wounded in some way, and by God's grace, we can be raised again. And that's the message of the gospel. While the pains, the shame, the disappointments, the fears, and the sadness we experience may not be known to our friends and our neighbors, God knows everything. He knows what the desires and longings of our hearts are. And he comes today to say, peace, peace be with you. In other words, hang in there. Become intimate with your own experience. Descend to the depth of your pain before you try to transcend it. Sometimes, that's where God resides. And you could easily miss him if you dwell on the surface of your pain. I don't know how deeply you have been wounded, but the good news is that God does not give up on us. We see this in this Easter story, how Jesus Christ, he comes and loves those who are doubting. He wants to lead them to faith. He shows his care and love by pursuing us. To me, this is the most wonderful thing of all in this Easter story. Jesus knew everything about the disciples, and what they had said and done in denying him. He knew all about their unbelief, and yet he still wants them to be his disciples. When Abraham Lincoln was campaigning for the presidency, Edwin Stanton used every ounce of his energy to degrade and embarrass him in the eyes of the public. After his election, to the surprise of his inner circle, Lincoln chose Stanton to the most important post of Secretary of War. Many advisors kept him saying, "Mr. President, you are making a mistake. Are you familiar with all the ugly things he has said about you?" Lincoln replied, "Yes, I know Mr. Stanton, but I find him to be the best man for the job." Has anyone ever pursued you just like this? Coming after you, simply would not give up or let go. Maybe it happened at some point in your career. Someone saw you as being the person they wanted, and they were willing to pay generously as long as you joined their team. Maybe you were gifted in some sport, and the different colleges wanted to have you. They come after you, they offer you scholarship. Maybe it happened in the romantic relationship. I spotted my wife when we were both freshmen at high school. It took me many years, but I hung in there, just kept on pursuing, and it was worth it. Christ pursued these disciples because he knew they were the best men for the job. They must have thought, after all that we have said and done to you, you still want us to be your disciples. Yes, the Bible calls that grace. And that's what Jesus wants to offer us today. After all that he suffered to redeem us, it matters to him that we are his disciples. I don't want to sound naive, because I know that throughout life lived realistically, we come to places we think we cannot cope. When the bottom drops out, when the rug is pulled away under us, there will be times in which our experience is the experience of these disciples. There will be days when you don't feel the joy of Easter morning. When you walk the road to your Emmaus and meet no risen Christ. When you stand on your mountain of Galilee and there comes no voice from the breezes. When you sail on your lake of meditations and see no vision. When you frequent this wonderful cathedral and get no hint of his presence. So what do you do when you're not sure? In those moments, your faith cannot walk by sight, but by the love of the one who pursues us. Let him lead you when your teary eyes are dim. When you lose sight of his risen form, pray that you don't shut yourself out from bearing his name. If you cannot rise and soar with him to heaven, at least go back and finish his work. Mourn with the Marthas, whose Lazarus you cannot raise. Pray with the sick, whose weaknesses you cannot cure. Sing to the blind, whose eyes you cannot open. Find and give a second chance to those who have fallen to renew their faith. Then shall you know the meaning of these words. Blessed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.